This is your friend John Walden, Colorado Springs. We're continuing our studies in the Book of the Revelation. And just now we're thinking about the seven churches to which letters were written in chapters 2 and 3. We saw that the Book of the Revelation is divided into three sections. The first chapter tells us the vision which John saw. The vision of the Lord Jesus himself in glory as the head of his people in the midst of the seven lampstands, or the seven churches. Then, the second and third chapters give us the things which are, a sort of preview of the whole church history. And then, beginning with chapter 4 and verse 1, on to the end of the chapter, we have the third section, and this concerns things which shall be after this. Everything from the first verse of chapter 4 on is still future. Now we saw that Thyatira stands for that age in the church's history when the Roman Catholic Church came to ascendancy. At the beginning of the 7th century, the Bishop of Rome was finally recognized as a universal pope. We could hardly say that there was a definite Roman Catholic Church until that time. From that point on, it was a very definite organization. Now the third chapter of the Revelation, and beginning at verse 1, says, "Unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead." Sardis means the remnant, or those who have escaped. And those of us who have studied these things believe that this pictures for us the Reformation. Now, the Reformation was an attempt to get back to the Scriptures, to the order given to us in the New Testament. But it failed for two reasons. For one reason, because the people did not go all the way back to the Scriptures. They carried with them some of the rags of Babylon, some of the things which they had been taught and which they had practiced in the Mother Church. Secondly, they went to sleep too soon after the Reformation. There were many dear Christians, and we owe a great deal to the Reformers. But their followers were satisfied simply with what was given to them and with the institution of state churches, which have no foundation at all in Scripture. Now, the Lord's salutation to these people indicates, because he has the seven spirits of God, and we know from the 11th chapter of Isaiah that this simply means the sevenfold plenitude of the Spirit of God. He is therefore able to meet every need. And then it says that he has the seven stars. Now in chapter 2 and verse 1 it says that he holds the seven stars, and these stars were the messengers, his messengers to the churches. Men who profess to be the Lord's messengers should be held in his hand, not held by the church, not subject to people because their salary is being paid by them. They should be men who are really subject to the Lord himself. He doesn't say that here. He just says that he has the seven stars. Then he begins to point out to them some things that are wrong. And there are several things wrong here. First of all, he says they have a name to live, but they're dead. And you'll find many indications of this. He tells them that he's going to come as a thief. And 1 Thessalonians 5 and 4 says, "You who are Christians are not in darkness, but that day should overtake you as a thief." There were many unsaved people among them. You see, church membership is an evil which produces many evil results. There's nothing in Scripture to indicate that a person should be a member of an organization. And if it is possible to join, it's possible for unsaved people to join. And when they do, they oftentimes water down the teaching and the practices until you can hardly tell that it is of God at all. Many of these people were dead. And then, according to verse 4, many of them had defiled garments. But he says thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. Do you have your garments washed? Washed white in the blood of the Lamb? Do you know what I'm talking about when I talk about the defilement of sin being cleansed away by the death and resurrection of our blessed Lord? Well, there are many people who don't know what we're talking about at all. Recently, a person who joined the church, in answer to my question, said, I don't know what you're talking about when you mention the new birth. And yet the Lord Jesus plainly said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, dead Protestantism, in failing to return all the way to the Word of God and in carrying over many of these things, still has many believers among them. And so he advises them that they are to hold fast what they received and heard. I don't waste my time objecting to creeds, because a creed simply means something which we believe, and every Christian ought to have something which he believes. This ought to include all the Word of God, of course. I believe the Scriptures. This was returned to people during the Reformation, and this is what we ought to hold fast. Not hold fast the traditions of our particular group, but hold fast the truth which we learn from the Word of God. And then he says he wants us to watch for his return. And if you belong to the Lord, this ought to be revived in your heart, and you ought to appreciate what it is to be looking for the Lord Jesus to come back again. And then he wants us to strengthen each other, to help each other, that we might go on for the Lord. Now notice that there is a promise to overcomers, as in each of these churches. So there are believers, because only believers are overcomers, according to 1 John chapter 5. These overcomers are promised white raiment. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? White raiment not only speaks of the cleansing which we have as a result of the precious blood of Christ, but it also speaks of our own righteousnesses as Christians. According to the 19th of the Revelation, the bride was granted the privilege of being clothed in fine linen, pure and white, and he says this is the righteousnesses of saints. So if you're a real child of God, not only should you be cleansed of the precious blood, and you are cleansed of the precious blood, but you should also live in such a way that people will know that your life is right. White raiment. And then he says, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Now the Lord doesn't blot anyone's name out of the book of life. We have no record in Scripture of anyone being lost who was really saved. But the point here is that in contrast to dead Protestantism, which makes a great deal of membership in a certain church, an organization, and which threatens its people with taking the names off the church roll under certain failures, the Lord is saying to us, those who belong to me have nothing to fear, because I never take their names out of my book. Your name is in his book, brother and sister, forever. The thing you need to be sure about is that it is there. Is my name written there on the page white and fair in the book of his kingdom? Is my name written there? The Lord Jesus said to his own, don't rejoice about the mere victories that you win, the demons being subject to you and so on, but rejoice rather because your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life because the Lamb of God is the one who purchased our redemption, who put our sins away, and who makes us his own. And then in addition, there is the promise that their names will be confessed before his Father and before his angels. Does it mean something to you to be important in this world? Well, if you're a child of God, it ought not. It is not important that you be highly esteemed, that you be well thought of in this world. The important thing is that you be well thought of by the Lord himself. And there are many Christians who are unhappy about their affiliation with some organization, some denomination, and they say, well, I'd like to get out of this. I'm unhappy about it. I don't like to support the Council of Churches. I don't like to have my money go to support the modernists and liberals and neo-orthodoxy teachers. But I'd be afraid to take a step like this because my reputation here in this town would suffer, and I would just not be well thought of. Well, brother and sister, you have to decide whether you're going to be well thought of by man or by God. The Lord said that the false prophets were well spoken of, but that the true prophets suffered reproach. Are you willing to suffer with the Lord Jesus? Are you willing to take your stand with him, to take your stand for what you know to be right, regardless of how things go, regardless of what people think of you here? If you are, the Lord has wonderful things ahead for those who will so trust him. Our Father, we thank you for thy word. We thank you for our Savior who purchased our salvation by his own precious blood. And we thank thee for the blessings which come upon us when we are willing to live for him and to suffer with him. Receive our thanks in his name. Amen.